Hello, and welcome to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Amira.
And I'm Aphrodite.
In today's episode, we will be talking about the fourth episode, season two, of The Bold Type. But first, it is Pride Month, and our very own Woo-hoo! Aphrodite had a spectacular weekend at Chicago Pride. Why don't you tell us
about it? Yes, I absolutely did. I did Dyke March. As soon as I got to the march, the organizers really prioritized people of color, too. They were like, people of color, Palestinians, people with disabilities to the front of the march. So it was just great to see so many beautiful queer, trans, and non-binary people like expressing themselves, wearing as little or as much as they feel like wearing. Pride is just a great time to look at people because everyone comes out. And you get to see the community that's been hiding, or at least the community that's been like dormant, where nobody comes out of the house. They're all hiding in the woodwork. And you're like, where are you, lesbians?
They're all the Dyke March, apparently.
It was brilliant. I had a blast this month. How was your Pride?
It was good. You know, I didn't do any events this month because I was trying to do a little more self-care and just, I don't know, sometimes like going out in those crowds can be a little bit like too much for me. I took a year off.
You are still just as gay.
You are not any less gay
for not going to Pride marches, okay?
You know, I did my time in my youth.
And to all you listeners, if you didn't do Pride, you're still gay.
It's totally okay.
We should get started with Kat and Adina. There's just so much to talk about there. I will say, though, I wanted way longer group queer scenes than what we got. Give us these scenes. I want them, like, flirting with each other. I wanted all that. We got a glimpse of it, and I would have liked even more.
And Kat even gives us a little teaser line because Adina's saying, like, oh, you know, like the New York queer artist scene or something like that. And Kat says, I don't know, actually. It's not really my scene. I was like, this is great because this is kind of, you know, Kat's gay-by storyline, and like maybe we're going to see like through her eyes, like being, you know, entering the queer community in that way. And unfortunately, it just kind of seemed like Adina was shutting her out of it.
I did love when Sutton said to Kat, oh, it's baby's first lesbian bar. I was like, oh my God, it is.
Yes, it is. It came across so much at the beginning of like, you know, Adina's like hiding something. Adina just keeps avoiding the question when Kat brings it up. And I really want to commend Kat in this episode because she even says at one point, communication is so hard. And she's right. It can be. It can be really hard. And it's even harder when the person you're trying to communicate with is not reciprocating. Adina's communication skills really took a dive in this episode, I have to say. I was a little disappointed.
Adina fucked up. I'm just gonna say it, okay?
Yeah, I was trying to be nice, but okay.
Adina fucked up. Kat, who is supposed to be the baby gay, Kat, who has far less experience processing shit in relationships, her frustration with Adina not being forthright is totally legitimate. I felt like Adina was avoiding talking about the elephant in the room. And Kat was like, no, let's talk about it. Can we please talk about it? And Adina only made it worse by continuing to distract away. Although it was really sexy when she started kissing Kat's neck. I was like, damn, that's some devious shit. That is some devious shit.
I know.
Wow. Oh, this is the game you play, Adina, with some like neck kisses and some flirtation. You were delivering all this game to distract Kat away from her jealousy.
I know. And Kat calls her out and Adina's like, well, is it working? You know?
I know.
Oh, and it's God. Like, you know, you can see the look in Kat's face where she's like, we need to talk about this a little bit more. But, you know.
Adina is not your pious queer Muslim, okay? She's had her time. So here's why I think Adina fucked up. Because Kat the whole time is asking, like, how many people have you slept with? But Adina was, like, misinterpreting that question. The real question is, how many hearts have you broken? And the issue is that with Kat reducing it to how many women Adina has slept with, it totally avoids the issues of trust that have lingered since season one. I'm really glad that they brought up Coco, but I really wanted that conversation to go way further than it did, right? Yeah. Kat is afraid that Adina is going to break her heart, just like Adina broke Coco's heart and however many lesbians before Kat and Coco. She may also be a serial heartbreaker or even a serial cheater. We don't know. And the fact that Adina's not opening up and talking about it is part of the problem. And obviously the I love you exchange is like beautiful. I thought it was so touching when Adina said, I'm choosing you, Kat. But even as she was confessing all of these things, she was not addressing Kat's trust issues.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, like you, I was really happy that she brought up, that Kat brought up Coco. But I also wish that it had gone a little bit farther because, you know, Kat finally reveals the reason she's been asking this question is because she's like, are you going to do the same thing to me? You know, and it looks more and more like Adina may not be, I mean, it's still in the cards, but she may not be Polly, but she may just be, you know, a serial monogamist or like you said, a serial heartbreaker or cheater. And I still feel like, you know, they kind of resolved the issue between the two of them. And I like that Adina spelled out that she does want to be with Kat and like, here's the proof basically, but they still didn't really dive into those trust issues and how that can be, because it's like you could see it happening with Kat. Like, you know, I feel like everyone has that relationship that kind of gives them the trust issues in the first place. I was so worried that this was going to be that relationship for Kat. And she even said, you know, I'm not usually that type of person, but like, this is turning me into that. I feel like that door has been closed now. And this was it. This was the episode to talk about it. But I just really hope that they bring it up in another capacity and it gets talked about again, because, you know, lesbians just need to talk it out. We need to talk so much. We just are constantly talking and analyzing and communicating with each other.
Yeah. Or so, like talking about talking.
Yes. Like, yes. That's relatable, like them talking about talking and how they discuss things and then having the discussion after they discuss how to have the discussion and then having the post-discussion debrief of how the discussion went. it never ends.
I'm rooting for Kat here. You know, I'm like lusting after Adina, but I don't even trust Adina. Okay.
Right.
Like, trust that Adina would break my heart too. Okay. That's what I think. But I'm like, Kat, do not let her neck kisses and her I love yous make you forget what she did to Coco and make you forget to bring this back up. Do not let this issue disappear. What was frustrating to me is, like, I don't think Adina's trying to protect herself and her feelings. I actually think Adina's trying to protect her reputation and protect Kat's ideas about her as being this perfect partner. Because if Adina opens up about her past dating history, she's not going to be on that pedestal anymore. Right. Kat's going to look at her differently and see her for all of her mistakes. But I think the problem there is that Adina is someone who, like, I was very disappointed with her in this episode because I always saw her as someone who is very emotionally forthright. So Kat says, what I need from you is your honesty, and I need to feel like I can talk to you without feeling like a crazy person, which is exactly how Coco must have felt. And I have to give credit to Aisha Dee and Nicole Buscheri for, like, really killing all their scenes. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
The chemistry, the facial expressions, and you see Adina's face completely drop as she thinks and remembers all the harm that she caused Coco before she got together with Kat. So I feel like Adina is still trying to shield Kat from information, not about her sexual history, but about herself.
You know, as you said, Adina fucked up.
There were three fuck ups for me. First, why is she watching Friends? No, Adina has better television taste than that. Adina, to me, does not watch Friends.
And there's a lot of homophobia in Friends. I just want to say, and I know I may be ruining that show for some queer people who will now go back and rewatch it and realize, oh shit, it is really homophobic. But like, there is a lot of homophobia in Friends. Adina would not watch that show.
It's transphobic too.
Yes.
Adina would not watch a show like that. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you messing up this character? Okay, so that was fuck up number one. Okay. Fuck up number two was continually evading Kat's questions. Fuck up number three was her justification for why she was sidestepping those questions. She started to make it about her visa status when really I think it was about other things. The things that Adina said out loud about being afraid to leave the country, her active choice to be here with Kat. I believe all those things. I just don't think that that's the answer to the question Kat was asking.
You know, I was a little bit worried when that speech started that it was going to be sort of like a shitty guilt trip kind of thing. Because she was like, you know, I'm worried about my visa status. I'm not even going home for my mom's birthday. You know, like you said, it wasn't really about the actual issue at hand. Like I wasn't really sure why she started with those points. And, you know, by the time she finished her speech, it was like, okay, now we're back in a good place. But I don't know, the beginning was a little...
I think she was saying those things because she was trying to tell Kat, I know you're worried that I'm not committed to you, but here's why I'm committed to you. I'm choosing to be right here with you right now at great personal cost. I mean, the acting was superb. Honestly, these scenes are so well executed. They feel like real conversations still. Here's a question, and you can answer this however you like. Do you talk about your personal dating histories with your current partners?
That's a good question. I do in certain contexts. If it is in the context of saying, like, my ex used to be really bad about this, you know, like if it's a favorable comparison. But even then, I try not to bring it up too much. I feel like it would usually come up if I'm apologizing for a behavior of mine that may have stemmed from a previous relationship. And I serve it as not an excuse, but an explanation. When you first start dating someone and getting to know them, if somebody asks me, I would be upfront with them. But I don't usually offer that information because I feel like it's kind of a red flag, you know, if you're like constantly talking about your exes. What about you?
You know, I talk about past serious relationships, but I don't talk about relationships that were kind of meaningless. I only bring up the past as it relates to the present, but I would never ask someone like outright, how many people have you slept with?
No, me neither.
The question to ask is not how many people have you slept with, but almost like, how did things end in your past relationship and how did you deal with it, right? Because that's more what is relevant, right? Like, how does your current partner deal with conflict? Because you're also gauging their level of maturity.
And also, like, you know, were you always broken up with, or were you ever the one to initiate a breakup? Is sometimes I've been on a question both ends. that I've asked.
But yeah. Yes. But that's
because
that's
I feel like question. It says a lot about a person and, you know, kind of their relationship experience. If they're always the one being broken up with, maybe that they sometimes have a hard time telling when a relationship is over and like they need to let go. That's what I found, at least.
I don't know if this is a contrarian opinion, but I actually think Adina has the right to not disclose how many people she slept with.
Agree with that.
I think Kat can ask her questions as it pertains to their current relationship, but I don't think Adina even has to give her a number if she feels uncomfortable with it.
No.
I think partners it's are allowed relevant, to keep some secrets. Right, yeah, right. Yeah. How is that relevant? I will say a couple of things I really loved. I love that Sutton could smell the sex on Kat. That cracked me up. I also love that Kat and Adina have a joint calendar. Fuck, yes. That's such a turn on for me. You know, I'm like really into calendars and schedules and like people showing up on time and all that kind of stuff. As soon as I realized they had a joint calendar, I was like, oh my God, like this is sexy.
I feel like you should put that together in your dating app bio, like looking for somebody to make a joint calendar with or something like that, you know?
I actually did have that in my OkCupid profile for a
while.
You
did not.
I was like,
no way.
No, I did. I had a little line that said, like, the quickest way to win me over is with a calendar invitation. Like, I did say that explicitly.
that's so funny.
As I was watching this, I also kind of saw how I would, like, suffer if I ever saw someone like Adina at the bar. Like, if I saw an Adina at the lesbian bar, might die.
I think you literally would.
Oh my God.
You might just, like, faint. I don't know if you would actually die, but you would definitely, you know, pass out, possibly just like lose sensation in your legs for a little bit.
Did you see her, Adina's going out looks though? Like her outfits are just like A++++++. And then Adina calling Kat baby. Oh my gosh, can you call me baby? Like what? I would be such a sucker.
I feel like if you go out with a wing woman, their job is to just kind of, you know, your health and safety is first because you're just so easily overwhelmed by beautiful women. And I mean, I remember when we went to Klexicon and we were at the after party and we saw the celebrities coming in. Do you remember that?
Oh my God. Yes.
And we looked over and saw them and you're like, oh my God, Amira. Oh my God. Oh my God. Look who it is. And you jumped on my back and had your arm like around my neck. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, oh my God, just be cool. Just be cool. It's fine. Oh my God. I mean, you could have climbed a tree in that moment. I don't know if you even remember it. Maybe you blacked out. I'm so extremely excited just at the sight of them across the party.
I have no recollection of this, but I'm sure that it happened.
I promise you that it happened. I promise it did. Oh my God. I just remember you just jumped on me. Like I just had like an Aphrodite backpack on all of a sudden. I was like, oh my God. Okay. It's fine. Just like, just be cool. They can see us. People can see us.
Like, Amir, you have seen me flustered more than probably anyone. You've seen me very, very flustered. I feel like Adina might be my Shane. Because I never felt that way about Shane when the L word was on, where I just felt this intense attraction. Adina could be, we don't know for sure yet, she could be a player. Kat has reason to be worried, and I can see Adina being that serial relationship person who hops from one person to the next. That would give me massive trust issues. But obviously, they're conflating two separate issues, promiscuity with trust. Those are two different things, right?
I agree.
Because someone can sleep around and still be trustworthy. They're conflating the two issues, and that was one thing that I struggled with during this episode. I really wish they focused on it being the trust issue and not about whether or not someone sleeps around.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's true. I do think that they were conflated, especially because, you know, once the three girls got together and were talking about how many people they'd slept with and how, you know, Kat was concerned that, like, Adina was avoiding the question. And then Sutton brought up her past experience with an ex-boyfriend who was avoiding the question, and it turned out it was because he was cheating. So, yeah, they super conflated those two issues. I feel like they weren't really aware that they were combining two totally different things.
You can be an ethical slut.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
You can sleep around without betraying anybody's trust, okay?
Right.
Without miscommunicating expectations, without breaking people's hearts. And that's different than even if you have a really small number of people that you've slept with, but you've cheated and failed to disclose information. So all this is just too many issues mixed up into one, and I'm worried that we're not going to get them fully resolved.
That storyline alone should have been expanded upon, and I don't think that they will be in the future. They can only include so much in each episode, so, and they do have to talk about the other girls. This is not the Kadena show, unfortunately.
If only.
But yeah, let's move on to Jane. Oh, and by the way, I did a little bit of research on Dr. Ben Chow, and he's played by an actor, Luca James Lee, L-E-E. I suspect that he is half Asian, and that your wishes have come true. I felt like I went back to, like, you know, when you're a kid and you're like Googling like the name of an actor and gay, like to see if they're gay. I'm like, Luca James Lee, Asian, Luca James Lee, parents, Luca James, like, I'm just like doing all of these searches to find out. I'm like, please just somebody tell me if he's in any way or shape Asian so that Aphrodite can be satisfied with this representation.
Right. So we get some of his backstory, and his backstory is one of religion, and they didn't go immediately to his racial or ethnic background. So I thought that was an interesting choice.
It was,
they could go one of two routes. They could either go even more into Ben's background and we find out later about his heritage, or he's a character who just happens to be Asian without being like a plot point.
We'll see which direction it goes down, if it's either of them.
This week, we got a great juxtaposition between Ben and Pinstripe. Like, as soon as I saw that face,
I
was like, oh my God, I hate him. I hate his, like, smug, self-satisfied look. He's one of those white guys with that sarcastic sense of humor that isn't even intelligent. It's just basic.
His version of flirting is literally just being an asshole. And, like, I have to admit, if an attractive girl flirted with me by being an asshole, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, I'm into it. But, like, if it's a white man doing it to a girl, I'm like, fuck off. Like, who even wants to talk to you? I was annoyed with his return and with how Jane was maybe considering him again. And, you know, Sutton kept saying that it was like turning into a love triangle. And Jane's like, no, it's a line. It's only two people.
Okay. Kudos to Sutton for making Jane show her underwear.
I know. Like,
Sutton calling you out. You got called out. Your best friend just called you out. Show me your underwear. If you're not into Pinstripe, show me your underwear right now. Sutton is a true friend. True friend.
So we do find out later on why Jane is so iffy about the whole religious thing. But before we get into that, I just want to ask you, Aphrodite, if you're sort of in the beginning stages of dating someone and you find out that they're very religious, how would you feel about that? Or has that even happened to you before?
I feel like I would let my partner do whatever they want as long as it didn't affect me. The worst thing for me would be like if I got dragged into stuff. Like, I don't want to go somewhere on a Sunday. I want to sleep in. You know, I think it would be really hard for me to participate. I don't know. I can't say whether or not I would convert for someone. But I think it would take a lot for me to want to get involved in somebody's religious life or religious community.
Well, I did actually date someone who was really religious when I was in college. And she definitely didn't, like, you know, drag me into it. I did myself, out of curiosity, go with her to her church a couple of times. I don't think that I would ever convert for anyone. my main concern would be, you know, down the line, if we get really serious and we're talking about starting a family together, we would have to have a discussion about like how we're going to raise our kids, because I do have like very strong opinions about religious education. But I think if somebody was just kind of religious, like on their own, what, you know, what do I care?
Yeah.
It's like, you do you. I don't.
Jane's behavior was completely unacceptable. The way that she very just rude. Like, oh, it was so rude. I couldn't believe it. And the fact that Ben even came back a second time to let her apologize, I was like, Ben, you are a class act. Mm-hmm. You are a class act. Yes, you deserve this apology. But if you didn't talk to her ever again, I think that's still acceptable from you. To be on a date with someone and then have someone make all these blanket statements about you just because you have faith, it was not okay. And Jane messed up, and I'm glad that she apologized and offered an explanation, like, here's why I behaved that way and it was not fair. It was cute, and even if it was a little bit judgy, where she's like, how are you about premarital sex? Like,
yeah.
At the very end.
Even though I'm kind of annoyed that it was almost in the form of giving Pinstripe another chance for her to realize that she actually didn't like him, I'm glad that it got resolved and this didn't get dragged on, like, I don't know, like some sort of Mon-El storyline. Oh. Just like, he just becomes like the turd that won't flush, you know? Like,
oh my God.
I mean, I really feel like it was settled in this episode. Like, she just did not feel like her ideals and morals did not align with Pinstripe's. And in the end, he was not right for her.
I was like, thank you, Jane, for calling Pinstripe out for his lack of a moral center. I thought that was fantastic. And also, like, thank you for calling him out on him referring to himself as daddy. That made me barf.
I'm just like, oh my God. I even wrote that down. So I said, thank you for shutting down daddy. Like, immediately. That was disgusting. She was like, don't do that again. God, I know. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the preview for next week, but he's still in next week's episode.
I didn't expect him to be out of the story completely. I'm expecting / hoping that he's out of the story as a love interest for Jane. It's not really a matter of him having growing to do or like character development. It's just like, he's gross and boring and she can do better.
Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing giving Pinstripe screen time? Honestly.
Yeah.
Give Oliver screen time. Give Alex screen time. Pinstripe does not deserve more screen time.
Give Jacqueline didn't get any scenes this week. Give Jacqueline screen time before you give him to freaking Pinstripe. God.
Right? Yeah. It's like, one thing that definitely frustrates me on this show is that even though this show is about women, we still get a lot of scenes with straight white men. Ben, even if he's half Asian, we're not getting any acknowledgement yet of that. And a viewer who's not doing our kind of homework would assume that he's white based on his accent. So Sutton was fantastic in that she called Jane out, but Sutton also has been fucking up. This whole episode has been an episode of fuck ups. Wow.
I know. You know, with Sutton's storyline, I really did not expect it to go that way. I mean, at the beginning, I was like totally lost. I was like, this is, frankly, it was a little bit boring. I wasn't really sure where it was heading. And then when Sutton revealed her insecurity of, you know, comparing herself to Kat and saying, like, we've been here for the same amount of time and you're a department head and I'm still an assistant, that really struck a chord with me, because I was like, oh, you know, like, I've been there. I feel like a lot of people have been there, where you start off as equals with one of your friends and, you know, either in academia or in the workplace, and then they excel so much more than you do. And it's like, you're happy for them. You're not jealous. You don't want to bring them down. But at the same time, you're like, what's wrong with me? Like, why aren't I at that level yet? And so I thought that it was going to be more about that, but then it took a turn and became about Coke, apparently. That's
wow.
God,
I want to grab her by the shoulders and shake her. I want to be like, Sutton, stop comparing yourself to Kat, okay? Stop comparing yourself to Kat, first of all, because Kat has been doing social media for 4 years. You've only been in fashion for less than one. You stepped over into a new field. Second, like, you and Kat are just not going to be starting off at the same place, because Sutton, it's been heavily implied, she comes from a working class background, and Kat does not. Kat has two, like, shrinks for parents, okay? Like, she got a leg up that Sutton did not. So you can't make that comparison. I understand where Sutton's desperation is coming from. She wants so badly to get a jump start with her career. And as soon as she gets invited to that dinner, she sort of ignores the whole receipt thing. And watching her at the very end put in that $500 charge as part of the drinks or whatever, I was just shaking my head at her. I'm like, you are crossing a line, something that you cannot uncross.
Yeah, and that's going to come back to bite her for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah. Jacqueline is going to have to, oh my, she's going to have to call you out. You could lose your career for this.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
I mean, and more. I mean, she could face like actual legal charges for that.
Also, I mean, I do sort of sympathize with her because while I know I would never even find myself in her situation, if, let's say, I were in her situation, I'm not sure what I would do. I might just try to get away with that charge, especially because at the end when she tries to go talk to Brooke about it, they all just, like, leave and leave her with the check. And so I think that I would either go into work, explain exactly what happened, and explain that I put it on the card because I literally didn't have enough money to cover it myself, and they left me there, and so I had no other choice. Or I would try to just cover it up and then just distance myself from her, you know, not go to the dinner later on to try to further my career, because I feel like, you know, if this girl is nothing but trouble, like, that's not how I want to, like, get ahead in life, basically.
No. Yeah. I think I feel like if I was in that position, I would have just ended the relationship in that moment and been like, I'm really sorry. This is something, a line that I just can't cross. Mm-hmm. I can't make it to the dinner. And then, like, you know, you don't have to be enemies or anything. You can just, like, I'm not comfortable letting Scarlett pay for this.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. As soon as we got the reveal, the cocaine reveal, I was like, this shit got real heavy real fast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
In general, we're only four episodes in, but season two is much more serious in its choice of topics.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're dealing with things that are much more challenging to write about and to include in a television show than in season one. I think season two is much more mature than season
mm-hmm,
one.
Mm-hmm. And they're covering a lot more gray area kind of topics where there's not really quite a right answer. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we can have our opinions about it, but like at the end of the day, it's kind of like it's almost like a what would you do, you know, scenario where it's like, it's hard to say unless it's actually happening to you. And and we saw on the preview for next week's episode that they're not going to stop with the heavy hitting topics. Did you see the preview where Jane said that she didn't get hired for a job because they wanted more diversity? She makes a comment implying that she felt that what we hear a lot of when white people complain about things like affirmative action, that she felt like she would have gotten that role were it not for getting a diversity hire. It was very much like a comment of like entitlement, like that she felt like it was already hers and it was taken from her. And Kat calls her out. I'm excited to see how that's going to go down.
I also saw in the preview for next week that Oliver, Kat, and Alex are all in the same room, which would be the first time that all three Black characters on the show have a conversation together. So I'm very curious to see how they address this. You're right that season two in general has been choosing more gray area topics and not sort of tying things up all nice and pretty with a bow. In season one, it was very clear when something was right or wrong, and we got a happy ending, right? And in this season, it's like, was it right or wrong? You know, you could see it going both ways. In that sense, the show is becoming more mature, and it's allowing the characters to be much more three-dimensional, to be much more capable of making mistakes.
I know. I mean, I can't really imagine how much more can escalate from here, but I'm sure that the show will show us how much more it's going to escalate. I guess I'm kind of disappointed because I didn't think that Sutton would succumb to peer pressure that easily. But, you know, she does have, like, this really deep-seated insecurity about how far she is in life compared to how far she wanted to be at this point. I guess she is just that desperate, you know?
Yikes. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. Like, we're scared for you, son. The only person who I think did not fuck up was Kat in this episode.
Yeah, Kat did good. Good job, Kat.
Yeah, good work, girl. I was proud of her. Here I was thinking, last week we're like, oh, Kat's going to be such a baby gay. She's going to be like fumbling. She's going to be jealous. I'm like, you know what? Kat, you're right. You did good. Good job, baby gay.
I'm proud of her. I really am. I think that she handled the situation as best as she could. And her best was actually very good. You know, she tried to communicate. She didn't let her jealousy or paranoia escalate. I feel like she's like my precious gaby.
Baby's first lesbian bar. Yeah. We have to take care of her.
Exactly. Exactly. We were all there once.
I know. It must be super intimidating to see all these, like, art world lesbians of New York City who are, like, gorgeous with and all over Adina. And you're like, mm-hmm. I was straight a season ago.
Yeah. It also, sorry, just to bring up one more thing. It's also interesting whenever I see storylines of people coming out, exploring these communities for the first time in their mid to late 20s. You know, for me, having come out at such a young age, it's like, I always just kind of wonder what that's like. You know, it really is like a second adolescence. But for me, it was like just during my regular adolescence. It's like, I get it just from what I've seen and how it's been represented in the media. But obviously, I did not have that experience personally. So I kind of like how they're showing it. But I really hope that they dive into that a little bit more as her relationship with Adina continues. Like, I hope that they keep going out, you know, on the queer scene, and we get to see how Kat is, like, you know, learning about queer issues and queer history and, like, mm-hmm. making friends and, like, learning, like, the queer spots in the neighborhood and stuff like that, you know? Like,
yeah, give us more. Just because June's almost ending doesn't mean you have to stop doing the Pride stuff. You know, you can keep giving us queer content, more of Kadena. I'm ready for that for the month of July. You know, please don't complain.
Yeah, we're not going to complain if you keep going.
Yeah, this is the way things are going at the current rate. It's going to be a very exciting season. And the thing is, mm-hmm. do we only get 10 episodes in this season?
Okay. Was it only 10? Well, that's so few. Well,
I could use even more gay than what they gave us. You know what we should get? We should get Kat at her first Pride. That's what we should get. Wouldn't that be a great episode?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, you're in New York City. Why aren't you doing all the gay ass shit? You know, I would love to see that, like her having her first experience. Kind of like when the L Word did that Dinah Shore episode. Like,
yes.
Let's just see what it's like. Let's put her out there. Let's shove the baby out of the tree. Let her fly.
No, I would love that. Oh, and I love that you referenced the L Word Dinah Shore episode, because when I watched that as a gaby, I remember seeing it and being like, oh my God, that's amazing. I didn't even know these things existed. Like, I cannot wait until I'm old enough to go to Dinah. And then when I finally did go, like, that's really all I could think about was just like back when I was like, you know, in high school watching this show, like just praying that one day I'd be able to go and like, you know, look at me now.
Oh my God.
Like, here I am in Dinah living right? the life, you know? Kat can be that for somebody, you know, like, or this show at least could be that for some gaybies out there watching.
Right. For the gaybies watching who think that that's what the lesbian scene is like. I feel like the show is accurate and not accurate. First of all, lesbians are always like 1,000 times more awkward than the ones that we saw on the episode. Like, it's way more awkward. Okay.
There's never that much swagger. And
Adina, like, was playing like she gets along with all her exes. It does not play out like that in the bars. No, it is dramatic. You have to occupy opposite ends of the bar. Like, your turf here, like, their turf there. Who gets to be friends with both of you? It's way more complicated than that. So it is not as glamorous as the bold type has made it out to be. If you are a gay out there who has never been to a lesbian party or a lesbian bar, you are being misled. It's
Be warned. It can be really good and fun. But, you know, it's like once you start sleeping around, basically, like, the fun time's over, because it turns out it's the same group of people who go to all the parties, and you will see them over and over and over again.
How could Adina be on good terms with all of her exes who were there at Leia's party? I just don't believe that.
I don't know. I'm hoping that she didn't break all of their hearts, because that would mean that that would be weird, right? That they're all, like, still cool with her. So maybe I guess that's a good sign. She's not a serial heartbreaker.
In my mind, hashtag unrealistic. It's always more awkward and uncomfortable than how they made it out to look on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. I wish that they had shown them going to Pride now that you brought that up.
Season 3.
That was a missed opportunity, but yeah. Season 3.
I know.
Well, all right.
Happy Pride, folks. Hope you all enjoyed your queer Pride months wherever you are. The gay shit doesn't stop here. It keeps going.
It does not.
Yeah. All right. Whew. Tune in next time.